Lord, may your word be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Hide it in our heart that we may not sin against you. Amen. All right, where was I? Really good verses and a psalm, of course. In Psalm 21, I was just kind of there today, and it took me to some more places. Just really great psalm about the Lord's victory, his salvation. A lot of times when you read in the psalm, the term salvation is also interchanged with God's victory, his deliverance. And so this is a psalm of David. We'll just do a few verses here. It's just really awesome. O Lord, in your strength, the king will be glad. And think about when you read that, in your strength and stuff. Just think about us being in Christ, which we hear a lot here. You know, that's just who we are. We're in Christ. That's what the New Testament teaches. Never says that we're one place. It said that they were called Christians. The rest of the place, it said that they were people who were in Christ or in the Lord. So our strength is actually in him. And learning the strength of the Lord, how God strengthens us and how God teaches us to rely on his strength, is many times bringing us to places where our strength is very limited, right? We would know about the strength of the Lord and his strength. Scripture even talks about the joy of the Lord being our strength, right? But it's his strength. It's his joy that we get to encounter. And many times, even in my walk, I'm sure with yours too, that we only learn to live out and function out of his strength is when, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, in my weakness, his strength is made perfect, right? And in your salvation, or that word is actually victory there, and in your victory, how greatly he will rejoice. You have given him his heart's desire and not withheld the request of his lips. Remind me of what Bishop Chuck talked about Sunday, which I've heard many times here. It always reminds me, that scripture always reminds me of Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 4, where the prayer is, draw me after your heart, God, and let us run together. And I heard this years ago. God always answers that prayer. And I believe this verse here is talking about the same thing, that God has given him, or David, or us, our heart's desire. And he goes on to say, and I think it's Psalm 71 or 2, the writer, that I think that was Asaph, that said, whom have I in heaven but thee, Lord, and besides you I desire nothing on earth. You know. So if our desire, our heart's desire is him, then he will never withhold that request. That is always, right? So giving him his heart's desire, and we know David's heart desire, and I can say that here because in other places there, that was David's heart's desire, that he may dwell in the house of the Lord forever, that he may behold God's beauty, which is God's character, everything about him. So the Lord never withheld that. I love this. For you meet him with the blessing of good things, and you set a crown of fine gold on his head, which is just a representation of being a son, that all kind of stuff. I mean, there's so much that represents that crown of victory, who you are as a son, a daughter of Christ, all those kind of things, our rule and reign with him, just on and on. And he asked life of you, and you gave it to him, the length of days forever and ever, right? So this can't really be talking about our life here on earth, right? That he said, I asked life of you, and you gave life to me that will last forever and ever, right? So an eternal thing. And his glory is great through your salvation. Splendor and majesty you place upon him. Yes, again, you can see all these things that you have in Christ. If you make him most blessed forever, and you make him joyful with gladness in your presence. So I'm going to jump from here to another scripture, but this is just a great one. If you want to just go back And look at this, just a great deliverance. David's encounter with the Lord just gave him great victory, and all these things that the Lord did for him, and kind of make it personal for you. And, you know, I've been thinking about that a lot lately, and it's so important for us to understand that, you know, in our walk with Him, that it's always about our encounter with Him and our encounter with His presence. It's not about just reading and getting knowledge and learning stuff. It's about encounter, that you've encountered. David, the stuff we see here all came through an encounter with the Lord, right? I just say that to say that's just really the Lord's heart for us, is that not that we just, you know, read a devotional to read a devotional, or we, however we do that, it's always that we may encounter His presence, right? And you'll never come, you never encounter His presence and come away the same, right? You'll come away changed. But this, especially when it talked about the Lord setting the crown of gold on His head, it just got me thinking, because there's just so much that that gold means, you know. And that gold there, in that scripture in Psalm 21, is actually the word for pure gold that has been refined, right? Gold that has been tested and purified through fire, right? So this is in First Peter. I love this real scripture. Blessed be God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy caused us to be born again to a living hope, one that's very alive, right? Through the resurrection of Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance, or an inheritance imperishable, undefiled, will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, right? So, we understand that we have been raised up with Christ. We are seated with Him in the heavenly places. But it is a living hope, something that's supposed to be so real and tangible to us that we can just touch it, you know, reserve this, all this good stuff. But I'm just going to talk about one part of this. I'll never fade away. Who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Revealed is just to uncover. So all of this is written, I don't have time to get into it now, verse 5 and all that, is written in verb tenses in the Greek that means kind of a here and now thing, right? Even things that happened long ago that's here and now for our, for us to obtain, for us to experience, for us to sink our teeth into, right? Verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now, for a little while, if necessary, right? And the way we read, like in our English sometimes, well, if it's necessary, we do it. But that word means it is necessary, right? That it's absolutely a necessity for everyone, for believers. Even though now, for a little while, because it's necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. So that the genuineness, the proof, that word means this absolute genuineness of your faith, which is more precious than gold, even though tested by fire, is not talking about the gold, which is perishable, talking about your faith, like gold, because it's so precious to God, is tested by fire. You may be found, to result in these three things: praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus, or when He reveals Himself. So real simply, here. And I can't remember that. I wish I could remember how it goes, because I heard it for years, and Bishop Chuck says a lot about that a faith that can't be tested, a faith that can't be tested can't be dependent on, or something like that, you know. Talking about our faith that's being tested here. He's talking about through various trials. And also there's an interchangeable word when you read trials here in the New Testament of trials and or temptations, you know. that we face that is there for one reason, to purify, to remove everything, every block, hindrance, anything that is hindering us from the revelation or the revealing of Jesus Christ to us personally, right? There's a very precious thing. And when that says that it may result in praise and honor and glory at his revelation, the way that reads is that it may result in your praise, right? Of him honoring you, of him glorifying you, right? Of him, the praise and honor that he gives and sets upon our heads as children of God, as sons and daughters, like, almost like, I'd put it in simple terms, almost like a parent would say, I'm so proud of you, right? Because in the midst of the testing or the fire that's there to purify this faith, so the genuineness, this real new creation, who I am in Christ, will begin to come forth through that. So anytime that if you're going through something and it's very difficult, since you will, because it's necessary, is nothing more than to give you and me greater revelation of who he is. And we can't even understand the things he's doing sometimes. When we go before the through the fire and God is purifying, but why would he be doing that if it wasn't for my good? Because the whole deal is that I could get a greater revelation or revealing or uncovering of him and who he is, to see him more clearly, right? And that's what, when David said, you have not withheld the request, Lord, you've given me my heart's desire, which is your presence. And so that, the genuineness of that, the genuineness of our relationship with him and the new creation coming forth in our Christ-likeness is brought out by testing, right? It's not a pass or fail thing for you or me. It's so that the thing that I've asked the Lord for, right? Lord, I want more of you. I want more of your presence. You are my heart's desire. And he's like, okay, I'm going to answer that because I'm going to give you your heart's desire. And we're going to kind of take this faith thing and we're going to purify it. And I'm going to purify your heart. End of Revelation chapter 3, when this particular, I think it's Laodicea church, and they're saying, hey, we're wealthy, we don't need anything, we got it. And then he goes on to say, nah, actually, I'll read it to you. So actually, you don't. He says this, because you say I'm rich and you've become wealthy and you have need of nothing, do you not know that you're wretched and you're miserable and you're poor and you're blind and you're naked, right? And that's who we are apart from him, apart from Christ. And he says this, I advise you, or my counsel to you, is to buy from me gold that is refined by the fire so that you may become rich, right? White garments so that you may clothe yourself, which is just a picture of being clothed with Christ, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. An eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you can see. Kind of like our brother Job, right? He just says one thing at the very end of that. Lord, I tried to explain things I can't, but I used to hear about you. Now I see you. Now I can see you. And then the just cool things happen after that. Same thing here. And then he goes on, those whom I really love, or I love, I reprove and discipline. Be zealous and repent. That's really a cool picture. I love it. Then the whole thing that we use as a salvation thing, which is really cool, behold, I stand at the door and knock, if anyone hears, is right after that. I've just read that. We're asking gold refined by the fire and the garments to cover ourselves. And then he says, behold, I'm standing at your door and knock. Anyone who opens the door, I will come in and fellowship with him, right? Why is that put in there? It's kind of weird that that's there, but it's the truth. All of it boils down to that he's there, you know, and removing any and everything from me that would hinder any fellowship with him or anything displeasing to him or anything that's robbing me or stealing from me, right? The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes to give life. But here is just this believers who just have become so comfortable, and it's all about, you know, just doing the thing like we all fall into, just, you know, going to church, doing the religious thing, and not forgot what it's all about, our relationship with him. It's what God created me for. And so we ask, Lord, because you love me, you're asking me for this gold that you want to give me. You want to purify me. You want to remove those things, you know, that are harmful to me. Like some made me think of Psalm 139 at the very end, you know, cool psalm where David, you know, Lord, you form me, you know all about me. You see my unformed substance. You see my destiny. You see what I want to become. You see all that. Your thoughts toward me outnumber the sand in all the world, the grains of sand, which is just absolutely amazing. And the very last thing that David said there is, search me and try me, Lord. See if there's any hurtful way in me and lead me in the everlasting way. So he was saying, Lord, you're so awesome. You love me so much. Your thoughts toward me are just, you can't even number them. That's for every individual. And then he says that, Lord, search my heart, purify me, remove those things that keep me and from getting this, right? Of hearing this. Psalm 40 is kind of the same thing where David says, there's a place in there that says, kind of your thoughts toward me, your love toward me are like that. And then David, his prayer in Psalm 40 is, Lord, clean out my ears. Literally what it says. Lord, clean out my ears so I can hear it. I can hear your voice and whatever, you know, whatever it takes to where I can get all of you, you know. So that's a cool thing that's happening in all of our lives, in my life especially, during this season of Lent, where we are lengthened and we're stretched, is don't be surprised if you're having a hard time. Okay? All that's happening is the genuineness of your faith is coming forth. The new creation, who you are in Christ, is coming forth, right? Because the Lord wants you to have the best. He wants you to have everything. He wants you to experience what union with him is all about, right? And he's helping us, just like we do our children, get rid of the stuff that's harmful and that hurts us, right? So cool. God is just so good. He loves to crown us. He loves to honor and praise. And that's what he wants to do with you and me. So, Lord, I just thank you for, Lord, just this journey and walk with you. Lord, there are just things in us that, Lord, we want a shortcut. We don't want to have to, Lord, walk through things. Lord, knowing that you're always with us, Lord, you're always leading us. And the things we walk through, even though it's the valley of the shadow of death, Lord, where we fear no evil, and wherever that is, Lord, as we walk in various trials, Lord, in this world, you said we will have tribulation. It's those very things, Lord, that you use to purify the genuineness, Lord, of who we are, you're calling forth. So fear and worry and unbelief won't rob us anymore. Now, Lord, come. We love you, but nothing like you love us, Lord. Continue to open our eyes to see that. Pray in Jesus' name, amen.